Mm-hmm. What if it was your child that was being cussed out like that, that was being degraded, humiliated? What if that was you? See, and the truth is that probably somewhere in your lifetime, you were cussed out like that. And odds are your child before age 25 will be humiliated and cussed out like that. What's even sadder is that some of us in this room have humiliated and cussed out people like that. You know, it didn't used to be that way, and it wasn't that long ago. If you used that type language, it just showed your level of society, which is really low. There was a time, you know, when the only people who really used that language were sailors and, you know, prisoners, lumberjacks, people that were uneducated, illiterate, because that's the only words they knew. Trailer trash, shock jocks, sports jocks, criminals of all kind, gangsters. Now this is what it used to be, but it's not that way anymore. Today, our children are cussed out by the most intelligent or educated people possible, professors in college. It just shouldn't be that way. And we're going to be talking about some of this now. Our new series, we're beginning right now, and I'm venturing into an area I've never been. I've done some research online. I can't find any series that's been done on this. Other preachers, they'll go to Exodus chapter 20, you shall not use the name of the Lord your God in vain, you know, commandment number 3. But that's not even dealing with what we're talking about here. That's something totally different. We're going to be talking about real issues of life, our language and cussing. And I'm hoping it's going to help us. Now, I'm going to be saying some things I've never said before and I've never heard said before. So what I need you to do is give me a little mercy. And if it doesn't come out well, just say, well, bless his heart, Lord. He's really trying. You know, just bless him. So that's what we're going to be doing now. Now, my goals in our study, twofold. One long-term goal, what I hope this accomplishes in a long-term way. The first thing is that we'll start thinking about it. We'll start thinking about cussing. And if we'll start thinking about cussing, we'll do something about cussing. You know, when we're going through life just merrily, rolling along, and we just continue our old habits, we continue our old ways, and we never change for the better. So if we start thinking about something, though, we'll do something about it. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing is hopefully we'll stop. That something will take place within us that we'll stop doing it. And it's not as easy as turning a light switch off. And that's one thing we're going to be talking about today. My short-term goals for today are basically twofold as well. One is I want us to recognize where cussing comes from, out of us. Not talking about when it began or those kinds. They don't want to take time. I'm talking about in us personally. From where does it come? And how difficult it is to stop doing it. And then another thing that I really want us to get and see today is how it poisons our life. How it affects every area of our lives. Cussing does. So these are the two goals that I have today. And if I can accomplish those, if I can communicate those things, we'll go out of here better people. So that's what we're going to do today. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a scripture, and it'll seem as though it has absolutely nothing to do with what we're talking about. But it does. It really does. And so let me set it up for you. The Apostle Paul had gone around the entire Mediterranean area, and he was establishing churches. And so what he would do is he would go and visit the churches he had established and go visit them and see how they were doing. So on his third missionary journey, which was his last missionary journey, he went to this church that's called Ephesus, the church at Ephesus. And he goes there and he notices something and he projects a question. And it's from the question that I want to spring. So let me read that to you and show you that scripture. I'm going to read it out of the King James Version because it says it in a way that's a little bit better. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 2, this is the apostle speaking. He, the apostle, Paul, says this. Said unto them, the Christians, those that were at the church, said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now that's a strange question. These are Christians. These are people in a church. In our theology, you see, we think we get it all at one time, but that's obviously not correct. There's obviously something else to receive. We pray the magic prayer, and we think we got it all. So he's asking Christians, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And they said unto him, we've not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Ghost. So he deals with it. He addresses their dilemma in their theology. And he lays hands on them, explains the way more perfectly to them, and they do receive the Holy Spirit with evidence. So you can read that on yourself. But I'm not doing a teaching on the Holy Ghost, but I'm wanting to talk to Christians who should know some things and should have understood some things that obviously haven't. And I want to use that particular question. Now, I'm going to ask you to respond to me with a raising of your hands. And then the reason I'm wanting you to respond to me with a raising of your hand is kind of twofold. One is it will show us, if we're honest, that nobody in here can condemn you. that no one in here is so righteous and so perfect that they will condemn you. You're in a place, hopefully, that you will never feel condemned. That's the first thing. But obvious, and another thing is the obvious seriousness of what we're going to be discussing over these next couple of weeks. It's a serious issue, not just in our church, but in every church. It's what Christians are doing. So what I want us to do is, I'm going to ask you, he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed, since you became a Christian? I'm going to ask you, have you cussed? Have you used profanities? Have you used obscenities? Have you spoken words that you knew you shouldn't have said since you believed, since you became a Christian? Now, if that's you, and you have, would you do with me, raise your hand, and you'll notice I got both of mine up. And I think everybody in here has raised their hand. If you didn't, I didn't see you, and I don't want to see you, but I just want to. Now, I'm just going to go a little bit deeper, just a little bit deeper with this thought. So we all know now, nobody can condemn us, right? All right, just a little deeper with this particular thought. If you really cussed, I mean, it was more than darn. You know, I mean, it was something that even shocked you when it came out of your mouth. It was so vile. Maybe it was even blasphemous. You used God's name or Jesus Christ's name or something like that came out of you, and it even shocked you when you heard you say that. If that's you, would you again raise your hand? Okay, there we go again. All right, so now we see the seriousness of this. Should we do that as Christians? Should this be happening? So I want to really try to attempt to handle this. So what I want to do is I'm going to ask the women a question, and then I'm going to ask the men a question. Now, ladies, do you feel like it's ladylike when you cuss? When you use profanities, when you use vulgarities, obscenities, when you cuss, do you think that adds to your womanhood? What? No, you don't. Have your children ever heard you cuss? Is that a good thing? Do you know better? Do you know you shouldn't cuss? Okay, good. Guys, here we are. All right, that's men. Men, do you feel like more of a man when you cuss? I mean, you're bigger, you're badder, you're more manly when you cuss. Do you feel like that? Or probably you feel the other way, you know, but do you feel like that? I don't. I mean, I just want to make sure. See, you don't. Now, God says, have your children ever heard you cuss? Are you proud of that? Do you know you shouldn't do it? Do you know better? Yeah. Okay. So this is what I want us to see. I want us to understand this. And I want us to look at this scripture now in Colossians. And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 7. Here's what the Bible begins saying. There's so many scriptures concerning this. Okay. He says, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. See, when you're a Christian, you walk in a new life. You're born again. You walk in a newness of life. But now, you must rid yourself. You rid yourself. Nobody can cast a devil out of you. I wished it was that simple. Nobody, you've got to rid yourself of all such things as these. And then he gives this list. Look at this. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. See, we're not really worried about other people. We've got to deal with us from your lips. Now, I want you to put that back up there for me, please, before we go to the next slide. All right, I want you to see this. Notice what's connected here. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language. All of these connect, and I'm going to talk about that. I just want to point it out for right now just to get you to see it, because I'm going to talk about it in just a little while. But all these things connect up. All right, now, read this from the Message Bible. The Message Bible is a modern Bible. It would be more how we would say it today in our modern language. Here's what it says, same passage. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better. And really, when you're in the world, you just don't think about it. Everybody does it, so do it. All right, but it says, but you know better now. That's what we just said, right? All of us said, we know better, but you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good. And here he goes. Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Okay. All of us said, we know better. We know better. Then why do we do it? Why can't we stop doing it? Why can't it just be like a switch? You just turn it off. And why is it that though you want to stop, you can't stop? Why? We know better. So this is kind of where I'm going and what I'm really after here. Now, how many of us would go along with me and agree with me that the movies and Hollywood has kind of gone overboard with cussing and profanity and vulgarities in the movies? I mean, it's just GD and all these things that, you know, using all these foul words, these dirty language in the movies. And this, to me, it's just gone beyond getting their rating. I mean, this is, you know, it's overkill. And then, but what I'm really after here is it's now violating and intruding into my living room through the television. And I'm sitting there with my grandchildren. And this comes through the television, and I can't stop it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't go to a movie expecting that to happen. It's just now invading my space. And I can't. I'm telling them, they're my grandchildren, and I don't want them to think that it's okay if you talk like that. I don't want them thinking it's okay. I want them to know better, and I don't want that to get in them. Now, and what this tells us is a couple of things. See, Christians are supposed to be salt and light, and what it tells me is that, you know, we're failing. We're doing it ourselves. Rather than salting and flavoring society and preserving society and what salt does, we're allowing society to decay us. Now, we just need to start thinking about this a little bit. And we can't say anything about them doing it if we're doing it. All right. Have you ever been to like a public place, a restaurant or someplace, and you're in there with your family, just going for a nice, quiet meal, just a peaceful meal with your family, and maybe somebody's had too much to drink, or they're angry with the waiter or the waitress, or their food isn't done, and they get loud, and they start using profanities and cussing, and you think, why are you doing that here? And then you get a check, and you think to yourself, I don't guess I can say anything because I do it. How are we ever going to be able to say anything about it to society if we continue doing it ourselves? How can we dress down anybody for using profanities around our children when we use profanities around our children? So this is what I'm sort of after. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get a little techie on you. And I'm going to try to keep it shallow so that everybody will relate. But most of us have a PC. a personal computer. We've got a desktop, we've got laptops, we've got iPads, iPhones, but mostly what I'm talking about is your personal computer that you have. Now, and if you use your computer to go on the World Wide Web into the cyber world, most likely you have contracted a virus. It's called a computer virus. Now, if you haven't, then you've heard of it. And what a computer virus is a little malware program, malicious software, malware. And it's just a little germ, invisible, little germ that gets into your computer and starts a virus. Just invisible. It's embedded in an email, or it can even come. You would be absolutely amazed knowing how much your computer is communicating with the World Wide Web when you're connected to the Internet, and how much the Internet is talking with and communicating with your computer. It's astounding how much is going on here. And so this stuff gets in. This little malware, this little germ, this little program gets in, and it opens up. All right, and then your computer starts getting sick. It's a virus, and what happens is, first thing it does is it gets a temperature. It starts running hot. Your hard drive starts spinning. Your fans are running all the time because it's running hot. It has a temperature. This virus is causing some stuff going on in there. Right? And then next thing maybe you'll notice is it starts getting really sluggish. You know, it's not operating as it wants, and the programs crash, and they don't function like they're supposed to be functioning, and these things start popping up that you didn't put in there. And these little ads and things, they want you to click on them. And when you click on them, oh, you do have a problem then. Everything starts messing up. And it'll take over your contact list on your emails. And I got one this past week from somebody. It sends out this germ, this little malware germ. It sends it out to everybody you know on your contact list. And it's so contagious, they get it. And if you're really lucky with this virus, what happens is all of this pornography stuff starts popping up. I mean, it could get so bad that your computer gets so sick that all this viral porn stuff starts happening. It was just a couple of weeks ago, Judy started complaining about her computer. And it's a good computer. But she's complaining about it, and she says, it's not running right. It's just not doing it. She plays games, and she likes it to be fast so she can win. And so, you know, she says, it's not working right. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And then these things started popping up, and they are so disguised that she thought that she needed to click this thing to fix her computer because her computer wasn't running the way it was. And this particular one said it'd fix it. It fixed it all right. And so she clicks, and now everything's going crazy. All these things are popping up, and the fan's running, and it's running hot, and this stuff's going on. It won't work right, and she's complaining about her computer. And then we're sitting there, and this stuff's really bad porn stuff starts popping up. Now, my wife went irate. I mean, she lost it. And this is a quote. This is a quote. She says this, I'm about to throw this thing against the wall. And she meant it. But there wasn't anything really wrong with her computer. It was sick. It had this malware virus in it. This little bug had taken over her computer. And what she said was, my computer is defiled. My computer is defiled. All right, now, I said all of that to get to this point. We, with our PC, and I'm not talking about computers. I'm talking about our personal character. Our PC, our character, becomes defiled when that one little malware profanity gets in us. And it starts popping up all these other profanities. And we start clicking them. We start using them. And it starts taking over our operating system. And what we have is we have this virus. And when we cuss, we have a virus. And this is where I'm going to be heading. I'm just opening this up so we can look at it in the scriptures here in just a second. See, what we have is PCDS, personal character defilement syndrome. There we go. PCDS, personal character defilement syndrome. We have a disease. We're sick. And I'm going to show you. And what happens to us, unless I believe that unless we really come to the place in our lives that we admit that profanity defiles our character, we're never going to get anywhere with a series. I don't care how much you talk about it until we determine ourselves that using profanity defiles me. It damages my character. If you were to hear me cuss, what would it do to my character? And I think the first place is coming to realize that when I cuss, I am defiling, making nasty my own character. And then what it starts doing is getting into our operating system. And you can't tell me that when you cuss, when anybody cusses, you can't tell me it doesn't mess with your spirit. It doesn't make your spirit feel nasty and dirty. You can't tell me that it doesn't bug your mind. All these words are coming out of you that you know better. You can't tell me that it doesn't bother your soul. It does. It gets into our operating system. And every area of our life becomes defiled. I'm going to show you this. And these things are popping up. These things are just going crazy in our life. They're popping up, you know, and we're clicking them. We're using them. And eventually, these pornographic words come out of our mouth. First shows up in our display. And then it starts coming out of our mouth. You know, we start saying words that are related to sexual activity. Fornication. We start saying words that, you know, that are related to body parts. I mean, think about this. Words about body parts are coming out of your mouth. We start using words that are associated with body excretions coming out of our mouth. Now think about it. How nasty is that? Just that alone. Words that talk about body excretions coming out of my mouth. We use God's name. We blaspheme Jesus Christ, who only loves us, and we use their names in derogatory ways. And our contact list is, you know, we spread this stuff to everybody that's in hearing distance. We defile everybody. We're so contagious that it gets into everybody around us that can hear us. You ever cussed and looked around just to see if anybody heard you? You know you shouldn't. And you, oh, God, I hope nobody heard me. But what we're doing, we send instant messages to our children. I mean, they get it straight out. And we give them the virus. We malware them. And now they've got to deal with this stuff. Mom and Daddy did it. It's okay if I do it. And we get it into them. And what I wanted to say here, you know, what cussing does is it fuels the anger and the rage and the slander and the violence. See, all those things were connected together. I pointed that out to you. Have you ever noticed that when you get angry, if you won't cuss, you won't go into rage, you won't get as angry if you won't cuss? You're far less likely to move into rage and slander and violence. You're far less likely to strike something or strike someone if you won't cuss. You're far less likely to throw something at someone if you won't cuss. Because it's like taking gasoline and throwing it on a fire. It just ignites the thing. And it gets worse and it blows up. Don't cuss. And when we hear someone cussing and using profanity fluidly and vomiting that stuff out on us and our children and people around, we want to do what Judy wanted to do with that computer. We want to throw them against the wall. But see, here's what I want us to see is that when we use this verbiage, people want to throw us against the wall. And we're Christians. This just shouldn't be this way. Now, I'm going to look at a scripture. Now, Jesus verifies everything I just said to you. He verifies it in Matthew, and I'm going to read it to us. But here's the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 15:18. but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the what? Not mind, but the heart. Now, hold on to that. That's why you just can't turn it off like a switch. It's deeper than your mind. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. And they defile the man or the person. And the NIV version says it this way. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these make the person unclean. Now, that means nasty, dirty. They defile us. They defile our spirits. They make our spirits nasty, our minds nasty, our words nasty, our souls nasty. Now, reading that from the Message Bible, it says, but what comes out of the mouth gets its start in the heart, and it's from the heart that we vomit up evil and arguments and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts, lies, and cussing. It's all connected. And Jesus is saying here is that one thing will fuel another. And all of this stuff starts happening, but it starts in the heart. What I want us to see is cussing is deeper than your mind. And back to our scenario of a computer, it's deeper than your operating system. See, your operating system, Windows 8, Windows 7, some still run XP. These are the operating systems. Maybe you have an Apple and an OS, you know, but it's still, that's the operating system. But this is deeper than the operating system. The heart of a computer is called the CPU, the Central Processing Unit. The Central Processing Unit of a person, of you and me, is our heart. It's where all of these things of life originate. It's from our heart that we direct our lives. The CPU goes bad in a computer. This is bad then. A couple of weeks ago, I was working on someone's computer, and it had a lot of viruses. And I got the viruses out okay. I could get those out, but it still wouldn't run right. So I put in a brand new operating system, wiped the whole thing, put in a new operating system, cleaned the hard drive, everything, so there could be nothing in that memory, the mind, the aspect of the mind of the thing, and it still wouldn't work right. So I'm on the phone with the technicians and trying to get this computer fixed for this person, and you know, it's become a challenge. Why can't I fix this computer? And so they send a technician to the house. And what they ended up doing was replacing the CPU, the Central Processing Unit. Because it's from the Central Processing Unit that everything runs in the computer. Every program runs, every aspect of the thing runs. When the CPU isn't healthy, the computer isn't healthy. When the CPU runs well, everything runs well. Programs don't crash, don't have any viruses in there. It runs cool, it does exactly what it's supposed to do. And the CPU in you or me, the central processing unit in the being, is the heart. And this is what the Bible tells us. This is what the Bible tells us is happening with us. It's deeper than the soul. It's deeper than the mind. It's in the heart region. Now, there are two types or two categories of cussing Christians or cussers, period, just people who cuss. There are these two categories. And the first category, we're going to call them casual cussing Christians. Right? They're casually cuss. It's as casual as putting on clothes. They just wear it casually. They cuss in, it's a part of their vocabulary. They cuss every day. They cuss everything. They play like pitch at work with cussing. You know, they'll pitch a cuss word to somebody, and somebody will pitch a cuss word back to them. It's just their environment. It's a casual thing, and sometimes it's so casual they're not even aware they're cussing. That's how casual and how unaware of cussing they are. And so that's the first category. The second category is we're going to call them casual cussing Christian. Casual. Casual is not a word, but I'm making it up. It's a Delbert word, and so we're going to use it here. All right, now what this is casual cussing Christians once probably were casual cussing Christians, but we're in remission. Okay? But every once in a while, we relapse. and things cause us to cuss. Like something that aggravates us, or frustrates us, or an emotional outburst, or pain. You know, something happens that pulls the cuss trigger in the heart, right? And it pulls that trigger, and a bullet comes out, or sometimes a cannonball comes out, and right, and you can't get it back. It's out there. It's gone, and it's bam. It's in somebody else's heart, and now you've done some damage with that, so that's a causal things that cause you to cuss. You get frustrated about things, and just boom, there it is, bang. It's just like a pistol. Now, a casual cussing Christian is also a causal cussing Christian. They are, and they have a hair trigger. It's already so easy for them to do it. It's already so easy for them to cuss, right? It doesn't take but a little bit, just a hair trigger, and out it comes. So, we don't think about it much, but you said that I asked you, had you cussed since you became a Christian? And nearly all of us, 99.9% of us at least, raised our hands. So, we don't think about it, but which category would you be in right now today? Are you a casual cussing Christian? It's just a part of who you are and what you do and how you talk. Or are you a causal cussing Christian? But here's what I'm really after. Are either of them good? No. Neither of them are good. Now, if you do internet, if you do the World Wide Web, cyber world, if you do it at all, you're going to encounter viruses, the malware. You're going to encounter these things that are going to get into your computer and defile your computer, your PC. All right. In our world, we do the same thing. We go out there. They want to get into our computer. Let me get back to the computer analogy first. All right. To stop it, every PC should have what is called a firewall. Now, what a firewall is it's a program, but what it does, it attempts to control what goes out of your computer and what comes in from the internet. It attempts to firewall what goes out so that your computer can't send out your credit card numbers and all of that. So it attempts to control that, but it also attempts to control what comes in, this malware virus. It tries to stop it. That's the first line of protection that you have in your computer. And then also you're going to have malware virus. A virus program that even if it gets in there, the virus program should go find it and destroy it. Now, this is the first line of defense. Okay, what is the first line of defense for us, for a person, for a being? What is my firewall? What is my virus protection for my life? How can I stop this from happening? Right? Okay, now I'm about to read you an extremely familiar scripture that if you've been in church at all, you've heard this scripture. But I'm really not after just this scripture. I'm after the one it leads to, that gives the solution for. Now that's what I'm after. It's in Proverbs. Very familiar. Chapter 4, verse 23. It says, above all else. Now, stop there. This is massively important. This is more important than anything else you can do. Above all else, guard your heart. Get that firewall working. Make sure that your software, your virus protection, your malware virus protection is up to date. Make sure that you're current with this stuff. Make sure you're paying attention to this. Guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. What does that mean? The King James Version says that from the heart comes the issues of life. But this wellspring is better. What it's picturing for us here is a spring of water. And if the spring of water gets polluted at its source, then everything downstream of the spring of water is polluted. And so what it says is guard this spring, guard the wellspring, guard where it starts, so that everything else will be pure. Everything else will be good. And then that's what that verse says. Now I want to look at the verse that it gives us what to do. I mean, okay, guard the heart. How do I do it? How do I guard the heart? Well, that's what the next verse says. It says, put away perversity from your mouth. The first line of protection that we have against cussing and against defiling our lives and messing up our lives is to not let those cuss words, those perverse words, come out of our mouth. It goes on. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Far from your lips. So what this is saying is that if I can stop cussing, then what's going to happen is my life's going to get better. If I can stop cussing, if I can put perverse words, cuss words, if I can stop using those, if I can put those corrupt words far from my mouth, then my life is going to be better. I'm going to have a much better life. My operating system, my computer is going to run at full capacity. I'm not going to run hot. I'm not going to be raging. I'm not going to be angry. I'm not going to be slandering. I'm not going to be violent. My life's going to do better. I'm going to get along better with people. I'm going to be more successful. Every program in my life is going to function as it should. If I can just stop this. But it's so difficult, right? We already said, how do you do that? How do you stop that, Delbert? You know, you've already said it's not like a light switch you can just turn off. How do you stop that? Okay. My time's done, and I'm finishing up. But I'm going to answer that question for us, okay? We got so much we want to talk about in this series. So many verses to look at. So much to see and get our heads wrapped around. But I want to deal with this. Okay. The way I'm going to start is in answering that question is how many of us have role models that we so admire that we look at their lives and we say, man, I wished my life was like that, or I wish this particular part of my life was like that. I wished I was like that. And they have acquired such a position in our lives that we just, you know, they're just the greatest people. So those people that are role models in your life, do they cuss? And I don't just mean cuss like in, you know, a casual cusser that you just never hear them. But you can tell by their anger. Are they angry people? Do they go into rage? Do they slander people? Do they go violent? You know, your idols, your people that you have as role models, do they do that? Probably not. If they do, you need to really seriously think about getting some new role models. But probably not. Now, I want to connect that thought with this thought. When you curse, you know, and move into the casual cussing, something causes you to cuss. When you move into that, what mindset are you in? What is your attitude at that time when you start blowing out this stuff? Is it a good mindset? No. Is your attitude good at that moment? No. Or you wouldn't do it, right? Now, here's what I'm getting at. Okay. People acquire a position as somebody that you admire in your life because they've learned to control their attitude. You've never seen them angry. You've never seen them violent. You've never seen them slander because they're controlling their mouth. They're controlling their attitude. I've learned that if I want to clean up my cussing, the first line of protection is to clean up my attitude. If I'll clean up my attitude, I'll clean up my cussing. There's a direct connection between the heart and the mouth, but there's a direct connection between my attitude and cussing. I'm learning that if I become aware that every single day of my life is going to present to me aggravations. Every day. But that doesn't mean I have to cuss every day. I don't have to cuss it every time I'm aggravated. Frustrations are going to come along every single day of my life. But if I can learn how to somehow, in that frustration, laugh, find the humor in there. Here we go again. You know, it's the same old thing again. You know, and not cuss. And I find that humor in there. I find out that not only do I not cuss, I don't even think about cussing. I want to say this, and I hope it comes out right. I'll fix it if it doesn't. Here's one of those things. How many would say that sometimes it just feels good to cuss? Now, that's what we say to ourselves. That's just an excuse we give ourselves. Oh, there's no other word I can use to express myself. This is the only word I've got. You know, and boom, and it feels good. That's what we say to ourselves. We're going to talk about that. But see, okay, what if I say, okay, I'll give you that. It feels good to cuss. But it feels so much better not to. When you can go through a frustration or an anger or a situation, an aggravation, and you look back once you're through it and you say, I didn't cuss. I did good. I didn't do it. I am so proud of myself. That feels so much better than cussing. Because when you cuss, you get down on yourself. You feel dirty. You feel defiled. You know you've upset the Holy Spirit. You know you've done something that you shouldn't have done, said something you shouldn't have said. It's better. Listen, here's the bottom line today. It's, I don't just want to be a person who doesn't cuss. I want to be a person who doesn't need to cuss. If I can be a person who doesn't need to cuss, then these words, these perverse words, are far from my mouth. The corrupt language is far from my mouth. I don't even think about it because my attitude is correct. Your attitude is your firewall. Your attitude, now you can go in there and you can start releasing that virus protection to go and seek and destroy all that other stuff that's in there. I'll end with a scripture. This is what Jesus says. And it's from Luke. And by the way, you know, I can't preach without Luke. I'm addicted, you know, after 4 years. So here's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. This is what I want to be. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, the good man. That's what I want to be. The good man, out of the good treasure of his or her, out of the heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil person, out of the evil treasures, bring forth what is evil. For his or her, for the mouth speaks from that which fills the heart. I want to know my heart is filled with good treasure. Did I bless people with my mouth and my words, not cuss them? I want to know that there's good stuff in me, that I'm a good person. How about you? Feels so good not to cuss. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you for our amazing time looking at your amazing word. Father, I pray for each and every one of us that we've learned today, we've saw today, that cussing comes from something down deep inside, that it's a virus and it defiles us. It messes our lives up. We can't function at full capacity. We get hot, we get angry, we pop this stuff up and out of us. We defile others. We defile our children. Father, I pray that we're learning some of this and that we'll be thinking about it. And Lord, that just by thinking about it, we're going to do something about it. So Father, I pray that each and every one of us understand that it's the heart issue. And Lord, these things are coming out of our heart. And you want us to have a pure heart, a good heart. A heart with good treasures in it, not evil, vile words. So, Father, I pray that we've been able to begin a serious series on cussing Christians and that we can really do something about ourselves. So I ask you to bless us now and be with us and let this sink into us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.